Thank you, Chris. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here to explore your faith, to meet new people, and to strengthen your personal relationship with God. Welcome to Pilgrim Church on Welcome Back Sunday. We're glad that you joined us today, and we invite everyone for goodies, yummy stuff after the service. There will be a big brunch, so everyone's invited, and we hope to see you there. I have two very important announcements. The first one is, please fill out our attendance sheets. You will find them in your pews, on the side of the pews. And number two is, for me it's number one, but you know. Next week is Sophia's baptism, so if you're able to be here, please come and join us. Reverend Richard Levitt will be preaching and baptizing Sophia. He is the senior pastor at Amherst Community Church, so you don't want to miss that. And actually, he just retired, but he was the senior pastor at the Amherst Congregational Church. So Sophia's baptism is number two, and we will have community announcements.
Alice. I'd like to be first so I could get my husband back into the kitchen. Believe it or not, I've been trying since June to get these three guys in the sanctuary at the same time. I would like Lee, Bill, and Clyde to come forward, please.
What have I done now?
Come on. In the thrift shop, we would be a lot busier, a lot more stressed, and a lot more overwhelmed if it wasn't for these three gentlemen. Some of the things they do, and I had to write them down, they empty trash, clean bathrooms, shine up the floors, pack up clothes at the end of the month, build shelves, replace light bulbs, and help with creative displays, and that's just to name a few. We just couldn't run this thrift shop as well as we do without their help. So the thrift shop ladies would like to give them each a token of our appreciation and a wealth of gratitude and appreciation for what they do for us. Thank you. Get back in the kitchen.
Thank you. And Bill will miss my jokes again.
Okay. Oh, my Mark. Goodness.
Okay, for World Care this month, we're collecting canned tuna for the food collection. We have one lonely little stack up here so far, so I'm hoping it'll get some company. And also, this is a month with five Sundays, so oh good.
There you go.
She's a plant, yeah. This is a month with five Sundays, so as we started in the spring, on the last Sunday of this month, on September 30th, we're going to be doing our noisy offering again. And we're mixing it up this time because the noisy offering is going to go straight to penny pickers. So instead of having the jar out in the narthex this year, we're going to have a noisy offering, and that's going to go to penny pickers. So bring your spare change on the 30th and be ready to get noisy. On a little more serious note, Reverend Paul Rucker passed away last month, and we had a thank you service for him at the time. And there was a free will collection taken up. That is going to be going to the Nashua Children's Home in his memory. And we decided in World Care that for this month, if anyone else who was not here for that would like to contribute, you can use the white envelopes in the pews and just mark it Nashua Children's Home. And at the end of the month, all of that will be sent to the Nashua Children's Home in Paul's name, in his memory. Thank you for your generosity, as always.
Thank you, Mark. Pauline?
I'm helping out with the penny sale at the fair again this year, and I just wanted to mention that there'll be a sign-up sheet in Fellowship Hall. If you'd like to donate a gift card, we can make it nice and easy for you, and it can go through Shop with Scrip, so that you can actually donate twice. You can donate the gift card, and you can also donate because Shop with Scrip gives the church back a portion of the face value of the card. So if you would like to donate a gift card, you can write a check to the church, and we will get and let us know which what denomination and what gift card you'd like to give, and we can order it for you. And that's all you'll need to do is write the check, nothing else. You won't even have to go in the store. Again, the sign-up sheet will be in Fellowship Hall today. Thanks.
Thank you. Cindy, round two?
I just walked in. Nobody announced the end of the September, at the end of the month. No one's done community life yet, correct? Okay, didn't want to tell you twice. At the last Sunday of the month, I think it's the 30th, Lee and Leanne are going to be showing some slides of their trip to Bulgaria, Romania, and Transylvania. We all enjoyed seeing the pictures of Vietnam. That was really interesting. And Sandy's going to serve us a light lunch, and we'll have some dessert with that. So that's right after church, Sunday, September 30th. And I believe it's that Friday, we're going to try and have our campfire and potluck again. That was really fun last year, and you know, everyone had a good time, and we'll have the food inside as a potluck, and then Bill said he would make us a campfire again, so we can have s'mores, etc. So if you have kids, grandchildren you want to bring along, that was a lot of fun. When I said something about, oh, we're going to have the campfire October 5th, my granddaughter Violet says, I want to go. So yeah, bring them along, it was a lot of fun.
Thank you, Cindy. That reminds me that there will be a luncheon next week, too, because we are having Sophia's baptism, so there will be food and probably cake and good stuff after the service. Any more announcements? No? Then Pauline will lead us in our call to worship.
Just want to remind everyone, before we get started, that there's a special vote today on the ONA covenant, which is inside your bulletin. So towards the end of the service, Reverend Melinda, when she's ready, will call Jerry up and we'll make the motion and do the vote from there. Please stand if you're able and join me in the call to worship. Come, let us worship the God who invites us to lift up the orphan and help the widow. We are here in this holy place to worship enthusiastically and to listen actively. Come, let us worship the God who invites us to change the world. We are here to be changed and to be an agent of change. Come, let us worship the God who invites us close the apps on our phone. Who invites us to close the apps on our phones and open the apps on our hearts. We are here at Pilgrim Church to sincerely open our hearts and minds before God. Let us worship the God who lifts up the orphan and helps the widow. The opening hymn today is Shine, Jesus, Shine, and it's an insert in your bulletin.
Shine.
please remain standing and join me in the prayer of invocation. We await the perfect gift of your presence, mysterious God. We stand in awe before you and praise your most holy name. Today, inspire us to listen to your words of encouragement and hope, and also to go out into the world with a renewed energy, love, and enthusiasm to make a difference. Inspire and fill us with your Holy Spirit that we may be transformed into your hands and feet toward all. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated.
And now may I have the young and young at heart come forward.
Come on, young people.
Good morning and welcome back. How is everyone doing today?
Good.
How are you doing today, beautiful ladies?
Good.
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 Well, you're not a lady, but still. So, how many of you know, maybe the older people can't answer this question. What do you think these books are? Who can tell me what these books are? Do you know what these books are? What do you see?
Recipes.
Cookbooks, yes, they are cookbooks. Very good, cookbooks. And do you know what we do with cookbooks?
We make food.
Very good, we make food and what do? Like we follow?
The rules on it.
Yeah, we follow what they're telling us to do in these cookbooks. Now everyone can answer this question. How many cookbooks do you have at home?
18. One.
My mom had like 3 bookshelves full. So yes. Now I use the internet.
You mean hundreds?
Yeah, yes. My mom had hundreds, yeah.
Do you have lots of cookbooks at home?
Yes.
Do you have a lot of cookbooks?
None.
No cookbooks?
My dad has all of the recipes on his phone.
Yes.
Well, okay.
She already answered.
A couple.
Okay, so some of you have cookbooks. Kathy, do you have cookbooks at home?
About 20.
About 20. I like that number. That's a good number. Between like 200 and, you know, none.
The best ones come from churches.
Exactly. That's actually, yes, very good. Very good. I love to collect cookbooks. And, well, we know what we do with cookbooks. We follow the recipe, like word by word, step by step, or whatever. But actually, these are not my cookbooks, but I have tons of cookbooks at home. But you know what? I love to look at the pictures in them. Look at that picture. Isn't that beautiful? Like chicken breast or something. They are so appetizing. They're like really beautiful. I like to read like this. These are the steps, how you make the stuff and things like that. But guess what? I actually don't cook that much. I don't. I just like read the cookbook, but I don't really cook anything. So like, isn't that weird? Like, how many cookbooks will make you a good cook?
None.
So even if I have like, who has the hundreds of cookbooks?
My mom had them.
Okay, so even if you have like 200 cookbooks, you won't be a good cook. Because what makes, I'm not picking on you, but what makes you a good cook?
Cooking.
Well, actually.
Practice.
Yeah, doing it over
and over. Well, Cindy always reads my mind. I think she has like a little antenna or something. But yes, exactly. When you do it, like when you actually have you cooked or baked anything? I'm sure you have. Have you helped mom with baking or cooking?
Yes. I help my mom when she's cooking.
get me out.
Very good. So everyone has cooked something. What actually makes you a good cook is not a cookbook, but it's doing it. So, well, today we will be very practical because we will be talking about James. And he says that even if you know every single story in the Bible and you read it from the beginning to the end and backwards, will that make you a good Christian?
No.
Probably.
No.
Do you think it will make you a good Christian?
Well, it might, but maybe not.
But?
Maybe not. You have to do things in it.
Exactly. It's not enough that we know every story.
Listen to what Jesus told us.
It's not enough that we go to Sunday school and we know every story in the Bible. Like, I love to read cookbooks and recipes and stuff. We actually have to
do
it. Exactly. So when we come to church and we learn about God and we learn about Jesus, when we learn all these beautiful things and we go home, we can't just forget about the whole thing. We actually have to do it. So let's say a few examples of how we can do things. Like, what do you learn in church? Can you give me like one word? Something that Reverend Melinda says all the time. Pray. Okay. What do you learn in church?
Pray.
Okay, you pray too. Okay. And what else does Reverend Melinda say all the time? To?
Love each other.
Yeah.
Love each other.
To love each other, exactly. So when you go home, you don't just learn about all this stuff, but you actually have to be nice and help each other and love each other. Okay, will you say a prayer with me, young people? Loving God.
We thank you
for teaching us how to do your will. In Jesus' name we pray.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, young people. And now you may go to Sunday school. And the baby's teething, so if she's a little cranky, I don't know. She might stay with us. And if she's crying, we'll take her out. The baby's in bad mood today, so. And the congregation will sing hymn number 478, I've Got Peace Like a River. Please stand if you're able.
I've got peace like a river in my soul.
Our first reading today is from Deuteronomy, which I never say right, sorry if I'm butchering that. Chapter 4, verses 1 through 2, obedience commanded. Now, Israel, hear the decrees and laws I am about to teach you. Follow them so that you may live and may go in and take possession of the land the Lord, the God of your ancestors, is giving you. Do not add what I command you, and do not subtract from it, but keep the commands of the Lord your God that I give you. It's also verses 6 through 9. Observe them carefully, for this will show your wisdom and understanding to the nations, who will hear about all these decrees and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. What other nation is so great as to have their gods near them, the way the Lord our God is near us whenever we pray to him? And what other nation is so great as to have such righteous decrees and laws as this body of laws I am setting before you today? Only be careful and watch yourselves closely so that you do not forget the things your eyes have seen or let them fade from your heart as long as you live. Teach them to your children and to their children after them. The second reading today is Psalm 15, a psalm of David. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and who casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken.
Lord, darkness hide thee, through the eyes of sin.
Thank you, choir and Chris. Our third reading this morning comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 17 through 27. Every generous act of giving, with every perfect gift, is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. In fulfillment of his own purpose, he gave us birth by the word of truth, so that we would become a kind of first fruits of his creatures. You must understand this, my beloved. Let everyone be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for your anger does not produce God's righteousness. Therefore, rid yourselves of all sordidness and rank growth of wickedness, and welcome with meekness the implanted word that has the power to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and, on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing. If anything, they are religious and do not bridle their tongues, but deceive their hearts, their religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Let's talk about church. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to follow Jesus? Why do sane people waste a good Sunday morning in church? Church makes people nervous. They think about all the do's and don'ts. What if I stand when I should sit? What if I fart in church? That was funny. Nobody's laughing at my jokes this morning. Wake up. What if I can't find a hymn in the hymnal? What if the roof caves in? The roof is very strong, it won't. Church can make people nervous. And today is Welcome Back Sunday. So it's likely that someone got guilted into coming to church this morning. But even if you're nervous, even if you got tricked into coming to church, I hope you will relax and see that this is a pretty fun place to be on a Sunday morning. Today, I hope you will meet a church full of happy, smiling people. Today, I hope you meet a church whose actions speak louder than their words. Today, you can take a big breath, because we won't bug you much with that faith stuff. We might even feed you delicious food after the service. So it's all good. Today is a little different because James, the writer of our scripture, doesn't care too much about what we believe. He doesn't care if you stand or sit in the pew at the right time, or if you even find your hymnal. James cares about what you do more than what you believe. James is a tough cookie. He's like a grumpy old New Englander who has been toughened by cold winters. The passage I read from James includes the theological focus of his letter. Be doers of the word and not merely hearers. If we only have an intellectual faith, we are missing the whole point. We need to help each other. We need to live out our faith and not just think about it. You cannot imagine what joy fills my heart when I can be useful. This is why I ask you over and over again, please call me if you go to the hospital, or if you're sick, or if you're having a surgery. I won't look at anyone, and I won't mention names. I want to fulfill God's call. I want to sit with you when you are in the hospital. I want to share this journey with you. This is why you call me as your pastor, not simply to bore you with long sermons, but to walk this pilgrimage together with you. By the way, this morning, the sermon will last forever. You know why? Because the wall clock stopped. And I always check how long I'm speaking, like I look up on the wall clock. So, well, it stopped, so be prepared. You'll be really hungry by lunch. Okay, so, if you share your life with me, I will also share my life with you too, and my bad jokes too. Together we can do so much more than if we walk alone. Together we can do it. Together we're strong. Together we are the very hands and feet of Christ in the world. But occasionally we need to be reminded. Occasionally, we need to be shocked into action. And James does just that. By being strict and direct, James pragmatically, Jim, well, I'll just call him Jim, pragmatically puts us back on course. He doesn't care about your faith or beliefs or religion. He doesn't care if you attend yoga classes and meditate. The only thing he's focusing on is how do you act? What do you do? And by the way, that's the only meaningful religion in his opinion. Listen to verse 27 again. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself unstained by the world. James is to the point and practical. Keep yourself unstained by the world. And in addition to keeping ourselves pure from the temptations of this world, why do you think did James elevate the orphan and the widow? The epistle of James was written to Jewish Christians who knew the Hebrew Bible pretty well. In the prophetic literature, the orphan and the widow were often brought up as examples of those in need. In ancient Israel, if you did not have a patriarch, a man protecting you, you could not participate fully in public life. You were pretty much starving to death. All the benefits of society were received through man. In the first century, orphans and widows, especially women, were the most vulnerable people of society. Imagine a world without orphanages and nursing homes, where children were left alone to care for themselves, and old people who were not able to work any longer were starving or begging on the streets. It's a pretty gloomy image. But we here at Pilgrim Church don't just want to talk, we act as well. Just as Mark mentioned it earlier, Pilgrim Church is sending a donation to the Nashua Children's Home in memory of Reverend Rocker. And this is also what the UCC teaches us. Let me quote from the UCC's website. Doing justice, seeking peace, and building community are central to the identity of the United Church of Christ. In the 21st century, the UCC did so much. They have fought for children and education, civil and human rights, economic and environmental justice, global concerns, healthcare, human sexuality, racial equality, women's and workers' rights. And today is no different. Today, actions speak louder than words. Today, Pilgrim Church will vote on our covenant to become open and affirming congregation. Today we will vote on loving and accepting everyone who walks through our church doors. And the best thing about James and his teaching is that everyone can do it. Everyone. We can all express our faith through some type of loving action. Making sure that everyone feels welcome in church is something Pilgrim Church can do. So let's do it. Let's show the whole world that actions speak louder than words. And now, after all this serious stuff, let me share with you an old but a good joke. I like it, so maybe you won't like it, but that's okay. You will have to suffer for a minute. A preacher was completing his temperance sermon. With great expression, he said, "If I had all the beer in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river." The congregation nodded their approval. With even greater emphasis, he added, "And if I had all the wine in the world, I would take it and throw it into the river too." The people clapped and were saying, "Amen." And finally he concluded, "And if I had all the whiskey in the world, I'd take it and throw it into the river too." And as he sat down, the worship leader stood up cautiously and nervously announced, "For our closing hymn, let us sing hymn number 365, Shall We Gather at the River?" Well, for those of you who didn't hear the joke, I will tell it again in the fellowship hall. Well, soon we will gather in the fellowship hall for some goodies. And no, I'm not watching that clock because it's not moving. And no, we won't serve alcohol, but we don't really need it because we will be enthused by God's Holy Spirit. From today's sermon, this is all I want you to remember. Actions speak louder than words. With Nike's famous logo, just do it. Amen. Our next hymn this morning is not "Shall We Gather at the River." It's number 2, Glory, Glory, Hallelujah. Number 2. Be seated. Let us pray. Still speaking, God, we praise you for your goodness and mercy. Your perpetual labor gives us hope for the future. Thank you for sustaining the universe and teaching us about the importance of good deeds and right action. Help us to follow in the steps of your Son, Jesus Christ, who cared for the weak and the outcast. Encourage us to find the lost and lonely, to act courageously for justice and peace. Show us concrete things that we can do to make this world a better place for all people. Merciful Christ, at this time we selflessly intercede for others. We pray for the orphans and widows. We pray for everyone who struggles physically, mentally, or spiritually. We pray for the outcast and for those who are bullied. Comfort and lift them up by your people on their journey. And if it is your will, use our hands and feet to bring healing and reconciliation into our world. Now let us pray for those who are on Pilgrim Church's prayer list. We pray for Bob, Jean, Carolyn, Dan, Howard, Irene, Arabelle, Nancy, Norm, Kyson, Peggy, Judy, Dan and Evie, Richard, Noah, Barbara, Sharon, Howard, and we pray for the people in the military. We also say special prayers for Tom, Jean, Angie. We pray for the people who were affected by Hurricane Florence and by the gas explosion in Massachusetts. Today we celebrate with the families and this congregation who rejoice for welcoming back Peggy and the Stocker family. Loving God, thank you for listening to the prayers of this congregation that are said out loud or in the silence of our hearts. Now bring upon us your peace and grace as we quiet our minds in silent prayer. And now, pray with me the words Jesus taught the disciples, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. James says that every generous act of giving comes from God. Each gift you give becomes a perfect gift when your heart is full of love, generosity, and joy. And now our ushers will come forward to receive your morning tithes and offerings. Now let us say together our prayer of dedication. Holy God, only you can make these human gifts into perfect gifts. Only you can send this offering exactly where it needs to go, to heal broken hearts and change the world. Bless these gifts and multiply them on their way toward your vision. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is hymn number 473, Blessed Assurance.
Salvation.
Please be seated. And now I would like to ask Jerry to open our special congregational meeting.
This is the time designated for our special meeting today. It's just about 11 o'clock according to my watch, and I call this meeting to order. I would entertain a motion for the business at hand today.
I'm going to make the motion that we vote today on the covenant to be open and affirming. I'm just going to read it out loud. Pilgrim Congregational Church, United Church of Christ of Nashua, New Hampshire, is committed to being an open and affirming congregation and a loving and accepting Christian community. We welcome and accept all who seek to follow Christ into our community of faith. This extravagant welcome and acceptance extends to people of every sexual orientation, gender identity or expression, marital status, family structure, mental or physical ability, cultural or ethnic background, socioeconomic status, and all ages from birth to 100 plus. We embrace everyone and celebrate our faith and all of our differences together. We joyfully share our time, talents, and resources, nurturing faith and faithfulness through worship, study, and fellowship within and beyond our walls to enrich all those in our world and all that God has created and entrusted to our care.
There's actually no need for a second because this is coming from a committee of one person or more. I've determined that we have a quorum present of the voting members of the church. It is moved to adopt the open and affirming covenant. Is there discussion? Gail. Okay, right. All right, I think that change can be easily made for this to be presented. This is going to the New Hampshire Conference, is that correct? Yep, okay. Any other items? Are we ready for a vote? Okay. It only requires a majority, so all of those in favor of adopting this covenant, say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? It carries. Thank you very much. Is there a motion to adjourn? There's been a motion made to adjourn this meeting. Is there a second for that? Second. All those in favor of adjourning? Those opposed? Okay.
There's still a benediction.
Benediction.
And now go in peace, and may the peace of God go with you. Amen.